Welcome to Uncharted Living. We're your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are life coaches who are committed to the road less traveled. Join us each week for thought-provoking and entertaining conversations, all designed to help you create your own map. Uncharted Living. It's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map. All right. Welcome back to Uncharted Living. We, Christine and I, today are here to talk about the final laws of the universe in our four-part series. So this is part four of a four-episode series. So if you have not listened to one, two, and three, go back and do that. Let me start off by just asking you right off the bat, do you have any questions up to this point? We've covered quite a bit. We just have three final laws here that we're going to be talking about today. So where are you at, Christine, in this journey? Because I do think that, you know, the questions that you have.
Too much. So I guess I just wanted to know, do I have permission? Do our listeners have permission to sort of like, oh yeah, this is one that I think I can keep top of mind. And this is one that I think I can keep top of mind, but is it okay if we don't keep all 12 top of mind at the same time? It's not a test, right? I love
this. This is not a test. You're not going to be graded. And everybody listening, absolutely. Full permission for all the things. This is really, I want to reiterate, this is a tool that we can use in our personal growth journey. So whatever resonates with you throughout this, take it and run with it. If something doesn't, that is totally fine. I mean, you know, as a coach, there's often times in session where, you know, we start maybe with a tool, it's not resonating. And that's where the collaboration piece really comes into play with our clients. Right. So just knowing that is super helpful. We can recalibrate, realign, and get back to the ones that are actually going to be helpful. So to answer your question, yes, you have permission to set aside anything that's not
perfect,
not working.
All right. Thank you for that covering of grace. Yes, and I'll have many questions along the way, but to be quite honest, I think the ones that we're going to talk about today are actually the most interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that Ty had brought up, and I think this is such a great point, was, you know, these are really, we're just talking about energy here. So we're using laws of the universe because that's language that comes with this, but can be really helpful to just look at these as like energetic principles that apply. Well, one of the principles here is the law of correspondence, right? So what is within is also without. So if you zoom in or you zoom out, things have similar patterns. So these things are all interconnected in that way. So to your point, yes, it encompasses the greater and then also the more intimate or maybe the more, you know, that inner space that can feel sort of sacred for some people. So
I love that.
Yes. And for everybody listening, now that you've gone back and listened to episodes one, two, and three around this, that's not the episode number. We'll include the links in the show notes for you to be able to have all of that all together. You will understand and know that we've got the law of divine oneness. So everything's interconnected. So we're going to be kind of starting with that as our base today as we head in. So the final three laws here, Christine, are the law of cause and effect, the law of compensation, and the law of gender. And so we'll kind of weave these together and tie all of this in with the other remaining principles, and we'll go from there. So cause and effect, I think most people grasp that on the physical plane, right? Where you have, you know, everything has a cause, everything has an effect. This is really where we see, you know, like the ripple effects happen in our communities, all of the amazing work that, you know, colleagues of ours are doing, our clients are doing, these all things all have effects in their own personal life, in their workplaces, and in their communities. So when we're working with our energetic self in this way, we can expect that as we look at some of these things, or maybe we're transmuting some of our energy, right? In terms mm-hmm. of like our vibration and our emotions is where we can kind of pick up on that. We're going to see some ripple effects here. So cause and effect just brings that to the forefront. Like whatever you're putting out there, you're going to see a return on that.
Mm. But that, this is where I actually had a little bit of confusion over this. Because okay. I think in the practical space, right, you, let's say the cause and effect, if I stay up all night, the effect is I'm going to be tired tomorrow, right? That's just a very simple example. And then certain things are right. If I push over a, you know, a glass of water, the water is going to spill out. So kind of on a basic level, I think I get that. I think what is interesting when we're tying it all together, so sort of like the universe, is then I don't want it. I hate the term everything happens for a reason. Right.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that we're not conflating effect with reason or purpose, and to allow for the fact that some things are beyond our control. And just because something bad happens in our life doesn't mean that we've done something bad to deserve that or to affect that.
I love this. Yes. When you say everything happens for a reason, what does that mean to you? What does that equal?
I hate it because it means that everything that is horrible and tragic. I mean, we're surrounded by so much tragedy right now in our world and can make you pretty stressed. And it's like, wait, a mass shooting happens for a reason, or a hurricane that leaves people displaced, or systemic racism happens for, I mean, I can't, to me, I can't accept that. Right. So certain things are certainly, the effects of some actions, but sometimes things to me seem very random. And I just want to make sure, really, for myself, as well as like my clients and our listeners, that it doesn't actually mean that. Because if everything happens for a reason, then that means like there's a lesson to be learned from everything, et cetera, et cetera. And that can really, I think, get in the way of true healing when you're faced with something catastrophic, a catastrophic diagnosis, or, you know, a situation that where you're victimized and you had no control.
Absolutely. Yes. We are not saying, I am not sitting here saying that, you know, for all the bad that we see in the world, we are responsible to take that on. That is 100% not what we're saying.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you highlighting that. No, what I think I want to highlight with this one in particular is just that, you know, similarly to what we see as we're building a business, right? There are certain actions we can put into place that maybe put us in front of the right people at the right time, or help us move through, you know, for someone who goes from like a W-2 into a place of entrepreneurship, there's a lot of inner work that you do around that shift, because you don't have things that are sort of set up and guaranteed for you, mm-hmm. right? You really have to put some action in place to bring these things back. So again, I'm using this as a tool when they resonate with you. I am very careful about being like, this is your fault because something must have happened that this is happening to you. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying, though, is that there is a sense of ownership over our energetic domain. So mm-hmm. when we talk about everyone having that sort of energetic bubble around them, we talk about energy leaks, we're really just looking at how can we take ownership over the things that we do have control over? We do not have control over other people. We do not have control over systemic systems that are broken. We do not have control over climate. I mean, we do have control over climate change to some degree, but like we don't have control over, let's say, wildfires here in Northern California. I'm not, if I experience the effect of that, I'm not going to take that as like a, I caused this situation, right? But in that moment, let's say I am impacted by these devastating things like our community has been, to your point, mass shootings, your community has been, we still do have in those moments in the aftermath of some of those things that are outside of control, we still always have control over our own energetic domain. So in the coaching space, that's really what I try to do is bring everybody back to that place of let's set the other stuff aside. We don't need to carry those weights. Those are not meant for us, but what does feel priority to you right now? You know, what does feel like something that you can look at in the moment? Because really that is all we have. So being able just to understand that, you know, there's some element, and I hate to use the word control because guys listening at home, that's like the worst idea that we're just like sitting in here controlling things, but ownership is a thing, I think a word I come back to often, of there, and there's layers of awareness within this too. So something that I'm able to have ownership over in my 16-year-old self is very different from the ownership that I have over myself today at 39. Does that answer the question for you, Christine?
It totally does. And I think it's actually especially good for us as life coaches where we really help our clients set goals and work towards those goals. You know, if that's what they want, if they want to start a new business, if they want to kind of redefine certain things in their lives with relationships or family or dealing, you know, I deal with clients with chronic pain. But yes, there's responsibility or there are things that we can do to get closer to those goals, and what we're putting in towards those goals or our clients are putting into those goals, there will be an effect based on those goals. And I'm also thinking of something I heard this week, which was really, really interesting. And I, to be honest, I can't remember who said it, but it's like, sometimes we have this misconception that we are like flowers that just tend to naturally, you know, flowers tend to bend towards the sun, right? And the goodness of the sun. But we're not actually plants. Like we may be made up of the same thing as plants. We as humans bend towards security and safety. So actually will require us to step outside of some safe, you know, not safe in terms of dangerous, but safe in terms of just the way it's always been in our lives. If we're feeling stuck, we do need to then move forward in order to get the effects of then the sun. We have to make this step because it's not a natural thing for us as humans. Maybe some of us are wildflowers, but maybe some of us are not. I think the vast majority like to be in security. So I like this, that if you want to go towards the sun, you actually have to bend towards it in some of the things that you do in order to get the effects. I don't know if that helps or absolutely makes it more confusing or not.
No, I mean, think about any time. I mean, you, okay, Ty isn't here today, but you know, Ty is like our plant queen, right? Like she, we both call her like help. But you know, I mean, there are things that you can do. Like there are actions you can take when it comes to even the plants that you have. Let's say you're tending a garden. You have to plant the seeds, right? To expect anything that you want to, other than weeds to grow there, right? Or whatever is like, you know, native to that spot. So that's what I'm looking at when I'm talking about cause and effect, is really more how can we bring these principles, these energetic principles, into our own ownership space where we can start really getting very, very practical. So for us as life coaches, you know, I work with people who are primarily in business settings with some overlap. You work with folks who are in pain management, and there are definitely steps we can take to hit some of these end results or hit some of these goals that we're really wanting and desiring. And some of this is even just like acknowledging what those things are, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to, you know, be open to that effect then at some point in the future. Things are not always immediate, but this does play really nicely, Christine, into the next principle that I want to share, which is this law of compensation. These two kind of go hand in hand in my view. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, what you put out there, you will receive, right? So this is like return on investment or ROI, not necessarily right away. And again, this isn't necessarily for everyone listening at home. This isn't like do this and you'll get rich right away. In terms of cash and finances, this is like the episode we did, Christine, around riches, right? We're looking at other ways in which we feel rich. This is what that law is really tapping into, or this principle of, you know, what are some of the ways in which we show up in our community, in our families, for our own selves? And then how do we see those things come back to us? And how willing are we to receive then when those things come back?
I think actually, I mean, in our riches episode, we also did a lot of self-love with each other, like just talked about what we loved. And I think all of us, you know, a while back, taking the leap to sign up for a course together and then meeting, you know, we put ourselves out there. It was a big risk for really everyone in our cohort. But we ended up meeting the exact people we really needed to meet in our lives. And it's just amazing. So not only did, like, you know, I put myself out there and you put yourself out there and you and I met, and same with Ty, but there's also other people in our group that did the same thing. So it was almost like accelerated, or it's exponential in terms of what I felt I got in return to putting out my, you know, a really true version of myself, not the super stuffy professional side of me, or the one that everyone knew about, but, you know, a really more authentic self. And then I feel like we all got each other's authentic versions of ourselves, and it just collectively made us all better. So.
Yeah, magnified. And it was such an unexpected thing. I don't think any of us in our cohort, in our coaching cohort, were expecting that. That compensation for our investment in the program, right? Yeah. We went in there with, you know, certain desires and certain expectations, certainly because we wanted to be certified coaches. But, you know, what we got was so much greater. And being able to just hold that and receive that as part of this whole process, absolutely. So I think that's an element I want to, and, you know, it doesn't, and for everybody listening at home, if you haven't listened to the Riches episode, go listen to that to the very end, because the very end is like the gem of that whole situation. I promise you won't regret it. But, you know, this idea that, you know, again, you know, what are some ways in which we are able to, I mean, I guess in some ways, some people would call this karma, like what you put out, you get back. But really, truly, I mean, we can see this, and I always look at, going back to, you know, some of the other conversations we've had of like, what about, you know, what can we see in nature around us as a tie over? It's almost like if we can see evidence of this in nature, then we understand that this is something because of the law of correspondence, right? That everything is in patterns. Like, we can understand that this also applies to us to some degree. It's just our job and our work to figure out what that is. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. So what are the other examples of what we can put out and what compensation we can receive for the efforts that we put out?
We talk a lot as coaches and with our clients. And for those of you listening at home, you know, this idea of going back to your essential self, right? Going back to those pieces of you that maybe through culture, through society, through just living as a human in this world, have been closed off, right? So mm-hmm. when we're able to tap into those things, I think that those areas of ourselves, we're able to see the return on these so, like, to your point, magnified, right? Our coaching cohort is a great example, but I'd like to bring it even closer to home for everybody listening who maybe hasn't gone through a coaching program. We see this in friendship, right? So when we're able to show up in true friendship for someone else and allow others to be there in a way that they get to be who they are, and then in return we can receive that, that's, I think, where this all can come. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining that actually.
Sometimes is it not only you're receiving from someone else, but you're also now being open to receiving in a different way. So now if someone is looking, you know, they decide they want to look for a job, they're now maybe just more open, and maybe there's actually people then approach them. Do you know, for a job opportunity, or they're just more aware of potential other jobs that are out there. Almost like seeing this, you know, mm-hmm. like when you buy a car, right? Of a particular kind of car, and then you start seeing them all on the road. And it's not that there were more of them. You just are much more aware and much more tuned. And I'm wondering does that tie in as well? Like you're putting something out, you're taking the step, but then you are also much more able to recognize and receive what may have actually already been there to begin with, or more stuff kind of coming in.
100% I agree with that. Yes. I mean, there's an element of this. It's like, you know, what we're focused, again, listeners, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, go back and do so, because we talk about, you know, what we focus on, we amplify.
Yeah.
And that's what you're highlighting here. So that's why it's so hard to talk about one of these laws without talking about all of this. They're so interconnected in this way. But yes, I think the biggest piece of this that I really want to hone in for everybody too listening is, like, this doesn't mean immediate return on investment. This can be in unexpected moments later, right? Or things might come back to us or boomerang back in ways we don't expect. So when we're able to understand that this is a larger scope, I mean, one of the things we've talked about before too is, like, ideas. Mm-hmm. So many of my clients have these amazing, brilliant ideas, but then immediately they shut down. They shut them down for all of these reasons of, like, why they can't do them. But those reasons of why they can't do them are closing them off to something that is a gift. Yeah. And it's something that maybe, you know, is some, I don't know, not every idea you have is you should go and run with it, right? Or you'd be going in a million different directions every single day. But there's something there if we can allow. I mean, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this. I've heard her talk about this in terms of, like, getting an inspiration or getting an idea, right? You can allow yourself to sit with it and it stays and it's present. That's part of the gift. It's something that was given to you through that idea that you were uniquely qualified to carry out in some way, shape, or form. These things don't have to look like anything we've seen around us either, which is part of why we're creating this podcast called Uncharted. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not normal conversation, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was happy. I was at a little party the other day, and you know, there's like all this small talk happening, and like, I just have such a hard time doing small talk these days, Christine. I don't know how you feel, but I wanted to just be like, have you guys all heard of the laws of the universe? I write in. I did not do that. I was not the weirdo that did that. But I really, this is where we get to talk about that, I guess. So if you want to come have the conversation and listen to us go on and on, then you can.
No, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's – so one of the things I wanted to note was like this idea of spiritual bypassing. You know me and you know my history coming from this idea of like, you know, if you don't believe X, Y, Z, then these terrible things will happen to you, or, you know. Mm-hmm. That is not what we're saying here. What I am offering is more just a – I'm offering an idea that, yeah, if you're looking for some of these things and you are expectant about receiving, there can be a lot of fruit to be gleaned in that. And I would call it a practice. I really would, because it is a practice.
Yeah. No, I love that. And also, just again, you did believe what you were told to believe, and terrible things did happen to you, but they happened to you by the people that told you what to believe. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, for me, in that example, like, at the time, I was like, this is terrible, right? But looking back, it took me on a totally different trajectory, which now I am so grateful for. So there is an element there where I can say I followed because I was following my essential self in those moments, even though it was very, very difficult to do so and sometimes very confusing. You know, that's what I think we're here to do with our work and with our clients. So these might help you on that journey.
Yeah, I love this.
Well, the final law that we have is the law of gender. And this one can be very misunderstood very quickly because we're not talking about like physical, you know, gender representation. We're not talking about pronouns. We're not talking about sexuality. What we're talking about is everything has masculine, feminine energy. Again, these are energetic principles, right? So, gender is in everything. Everything has masculine, feminine principles, and gender manifests in every plane. So this is where the two different sides, the yin and the yang, the active energy, the receptive energy come into play. And so as we operate ourselves in the world, going about the things we want, trying to accomplish these goals that we have, and depending on which Enneagram type we are, one of these will probably be an easier default than the other, but that's where the work comes in. So if you are really good at getting out there, getting things done, let's say you're an eight, for example.
Oh, really?
You have this outward energy of really being able to very quickly make decisions. You're very good at guiding, and you're very good at seeing things clearly, and you have no problem voicing your opinion. There can be times where being more receptive or listening is your work, right? In opposite for me, as an Enneagram 9, I tend to listen and hold and look at all the angles, but it's very, sometimes very difficult for me to choose one path then and move forward. Mm. So that's my work, is being able to really put into action and, you know, go out there and focus on the things that really are going to make the biggest impact instead of distracting myself with the things that are going to waste my time, you know? But every single one of us, and that's why I think I love these energetic principles, like every single one of us is coming from a different place and has different work to do. So my job as a coach and your job as a coach is to be able to hold this clean space for people to be able to come in and sort out what that next piece of the work is. Yeah. And it's really just as simple as that. And so not everything here needs to be digested at once. Taking it in turtle steps is the way to go. But knowing that, you know, we all come with something that I don't think anyone listening to this podcast for sure is not going to be like, oh yeah, I'm perfect. Otherwise, I don't know why you're here. That's not what we're saying, what we're promoting and what, you know, how we see ourselves. But yeah. Well,
so in terms of, this is really interesting. So I have a question that I want you to answer, and then I'm going to have a follow-up question. So What, you know, when you say masculine and feminine energy and both exist in everything and especially in us, what kinds of features does the masculine energy have versus the feminine energy?
That's such a great question. Masculine energy is creative. It's super practical. It's like far reaching. So it's like the leaders in our organizations who see big picture. Mm-hmm. They are visionaries. We're going after this. Like, you can't tell me this isn't going to work. We're going to go innovative. They're innovators. They're doers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can take the form of aggression or anger, or like masculine energy is outward.
Okay.
Facing.
Got it.
Typically.
And then feminine energy is
more inward. And then feminine energy is receptive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more nurturing. Mm. Right? Intuitive. Idea going inward and tuning inward. And receptivity is like just the best way I have to describe it for everybody listening. It can be culturally here in the United States, we value culturally more masculine energies. Mm-hmm. But the problem we get into is when things are out of balance. What this principle is saying is that we need the balance of both. We need both, and we need to be able to enter into decisions in this way. We need to understand that like every single person that's listening to this in our team, we all have both of these. And we even see this in nature again, right? So like there's the growing season. When you look at, I come from a wine background, right? Even in the vineyard, there's this growing season. We have to, you know, grapevines will grow and like we have to really prune them back to get the exact yield we are looking for with the prime fruit, right? So, and then there's a dormant period where they're soaking in nutrients and they're resting and they're taking in more water for the growing season. So their roots are going deeper. That's the feminine and masculine that we see played out in nature.
Wow. So ultimately for our clients, and for our listeners here, and make sure, just also shameless plug, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any episodes and like it. Because we also have an episode on regenerative business that we did a couple weeks back, and I don't remember exactly what episode it is, but that also talks about the same thing. So it's not only in our lives, but it can be in our businesses. And this really ties together. But yes. I'm just thinking that for our clients, I mean, certainly for myself, and it kind of alluded to it, is that if I'm used to solving problems or I'm used to going through life and I'm used to, you know, handling situations only with or predominantly with masculine energy, because as an eight, that seems to that seems to track, but that if I'm finding myself stuck, it's not going to serve me to continue to solve that problem, be in that situation, handle this relationship with that same energy. It's important to not change who I am, but access what I already have, right?
Yes. So well said.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're not changing who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need you. We need everything that you bring to the table. It's a gift to, you know, to all of us, what you bring. We're just highlighting that, you know, there's when in balance and when we're in alignment and all these things, it'll be like literally going from driving in the right lane during rush hour traffic where it's like bumper to bumper to then all of a sudden being in the carpool lane where you're just like zooming past all the other cars. So
wow,
when we're looking at people in business, we're looking at challenges in the workplace, we're looking at relationship dynamics. These are really important tools that we can bring into really specific scenarios to help. This is why we want to bring it to all of you listening, right? Like, yeah. Take whatever is here for you, because we want to see you in that carpool lane. Yeah. Like, we want to see you reaching your goals. That's what we're here for.
So, and you, and just it's really not a tool that you need to learn. It's energy you already have access to.
Yes.
Which I love. It's not something new. It's not something gimmicky. Yeah. It's like you actually already have it. You already have the force inside you, right? And then I think you've said when it's in balance, right? When the yin and the yang or the masculine and feminine energy are in balance, it's then you become what? Tell me what the best. I mean, you said the carpool lane, but I think you had said intelligent, intuitive,
alignment, and nurturing, flow.
All the best things.
Yeah. That's where true self-care really hits the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you're tuning into your own self, right? Your own inner self in a way that feels so imbalanced. Like, how many times have you heard a client say to you, like, God, if only I could just get to, like, if only I could just feel at peace, or if only I could just feel like I'm not in pain anymore. I just want to be able to breathe again.
Yeah.
Like, what we're highlighting here is that your access to those things are right now in this moment. And so through some of these principles, through some of these principles, that's the portal to those things, right? Like when you can take a step back and understand that everything is on a spectrum, we've got this law of polarity. So, you know, like I kind of want to use, if it's okay, Christine, you tell me, but like your pain journey as the perfect example of like, you were almost in like this fixed point of like, I mean, you tell me what resonates for you around this, but you really almost had to like pause what you were doing, take a beat, consider some other things, and you really had to go inward. And your work in that, at that point in that time, was to go inward and understand what you needed, what your body needed, what your essential self was really asking for the whole time. And that was the shift for you around your chronic pain.
Yeah. I mean, even though I had been doing all the things that had been prescribed or all the procedures or all the things, I'm seeing it's all still a lot of doing, which I am a doer, right? Like, you tell me what to do, I will do it. I will like get an A+ on it. And I, even though they were different in terms of what kind of procedure, what kind of surgery, or what kind of treatment, et cetera, it was still all the kind of, it was the same energy, do this, do that, don't do this. It was all physical, right? Do this physical thing, take this physical thing, see this physical doctor. And really my, you know, my actual self was left out of the equation because I didn't think it was necessary until, you know, I hit the end of the road. There was no more things to do. I couldn't do. I had to just be.
Wow.
And I had to learn how to just be because I could not do anymore. And yes, I had to take time. And I don't, you know, I didn't really like to be quiet before, obviously, but I liked a lot of activity and a lot of like, yeah, again, let's do this. And I'm going to overachieve this and overachieve that. And I really had to, it was humbling, but also really important. And for me to do that. And what was incredible, kind of going back to our point about riches and what are we attracting? I put myself out there as like, I'm at the end of the road. I have failed at doing, and I don't know what to do. I don't have any advice for anybody. I don't know what to do. I just have myself. And that's what ended up attracting another group of people who were all suffering also from really deep chronic pain. They were at the ends of their roads, and we have exponentially healed together. We just celebrated our 1 year kind of anniversary of meeting each other in our, wow, in our pain support group. And it was a beautiful, beautiful time together. And I like led the whole thing and like told everyone what poem to read and which candle, you know, because I can't help myself. But
while you're going back to school, while you're launching a practice, while you're parenting, yeah, while you're working as well. Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, I just had to like make sure it was good, but just a lot of like, oh my gosh, how did we find each other? But that was it. We all couldn't do anymore. So we all had to get quiet. And then we all took the vulnerable step of saying, I need help. I cannot do this. And again, just the exponential healing and growth of the last year, it really kind of brings tears to my eyes. And we did a lot of, you know, mind body work. We weren't doing treatments. We were doing mind body work. We were doing somatic tracking. We were basically rewiring our brains.
And when we can allow ourselves as clients, as humans, as leaders, as parents, as siblings, as partners, whatever it is, like when we can allow ourselves the expansion in some of these principles, there's just so much available to us that's, I mean, quite honestly, like you said, it's here right now. It's like we're just saying, here, pick up the thing that's right in front of you, or you have it here. It's right here. Yeah. Which is, I think, the power of life coaching.
Yeah. To help you access that and guide you. And because it's if you are demonstrating mostly feminine energy, I'm sure it's going to be a little scary to start taking, you know, steps to do things and much more action. And then if you're action oriented, it'll be harder to get a little bit quiet, but that's where a coach can just be right alongside you and help you do that in your sessions. And I love the practicality of all of that. And that it's not all woo woo. We're just also talking about brain. We're just talking about brain stuff here.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing all these with us.
Thanks, Christine. This was really fun. This was a fun series, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. But for everybody listening, stay tuned for more to come.
Awesome. Thank you, Becca. For our listeners, just please like and follow our show, subscribe, leave us a review. We love to hear from you. And Becca, we'll see you next time for the Enneagram.
Sounds great. Bye, Christine.
Bye. Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.